question for you. So
okay. Welcome back to the Tan and J-Man Show. I am the J-Man, and sitting next to me is Tanner's dad, Eric Lee. Tanner is out sick tonight. You know, I just call him Soft. Many other words I can call him. You can kind of figure that out for yourself. But we're excited to have Eric here with us tonight. How you doing tonight there, Big E?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. I mean, Purdue's ranked. What's Purdue ranked now? Fifth or sixth?
Yeah.
Fifth.
We are talking basketball, not football, correct?
Correct. Anytime I say something about a ranked Purdue team, it's probably not going to be the football team for a little bit anyway.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, life's pretty good when your team's ranked in the top five. Are you still a Colts fan?
I have a couple teams I follow in the NFL, and they're one of them. I don't have a true favorite.
Right.
Much to your dismay, I'm a big Josh Allen fan. So I know.
You were a big Carson Wentz guy back in the day, I remember.
Yeah. Yeah. I was a huge Bears fan up till Jay Cutler got traded in, and I folded that one. So.
Yeah, and the Bears are good, but I'm envious of not being like a surefire. I have an actual NFL team because my NFL team continues to disappoint. By the day, it seems like the Dolphins are disappointing me, and we'll get into this a little bit later. But today, I wasn't expecting Mike McDaniels to get fired. The disappointing thing about today is he said he's going to be part of the GM interviewing process. So that's always fun to hear.
He and Troy Aikman?
He and Troy Aikman. Supposedly Marino's going to be in the room amongst about eight other guys. So they'll find a way to screw that one up. Honestly, I trust Aikman more than any of them at this point.
You may end up with Joe Buck.
I know. That'd be interesting. I don't know if I'd trust him more to run the football side of things or if I'd trust him more baseball-wise. He's a baseball lifer, but Joe Buck making decisions. I wonder if he's become a big donor at Indiana. Because that's where he went, right? He went to IU, right?
Yeah, he's been throwing stuff on X about him quite a bit here lately.
Yeah, I know he's brought him up, the football team, for instance, brought him up quite a bit on Monday night broadcasts, which I'm sure makes a lot of people mad. Well, but.
I can't think of the lady on ESPN. There's a couple of them that are Indiana grads.
Yeah, Sage Steele, I know she was one.
Yeah, she ESPN kind of let her go.
I remember that.
It's the one that always talks about with Paul Feinbaum. She's a big in the bowls and stuff. She's a big IU graduate too. Come up with her now.
There's a Molly McGrath. Is she a?
It's not her, but she might be too. There's a lot of Indiana grads now.
Do they have like a big like journalism school or anything like that? Do they? Okay, that makes sense.
Yep.
Makes sense. But you do have a trivia question for me tonight, so I can start off the year plus one, which is pretty
good. Yeah, you're going to have to earn this one.
Great.
I got two difficult ones. I don't know if you want the one more about the Big Ten football or professional football.
I prefer professional football.
All right. You're not going to like this one either.
Oh, great.
Riley Leonard. First start on Sunday, threw for over 250 yards, two touchdown passes, and a touchdown run. Name the last quarterback to accomplish this in his first start.
Oh,
if you get this one, you'll have earned it.
Oh, say, can you say that again? 250 yards passing.
Two touchdown passes and runs for a touchdown. That's only that hadn't been done in quite a few years. Well, let's put it this way, not in the 2020s.
Okay.
So who was the last quarterback to do that in their first ever start?
Oh, that's brutal. There's no shot. Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Giretti's Place. Small town vibes, big time flavor. Giretti's Place serves up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites that keep you coming back for more. Located 703 Main Street in Rochester. What was the other trivia?
Who was the all-time leader in points scored by a Big Ten football player? And it's in your lifetime.
In my lifetime. By a Big Ten football player in my lifetime.
This guy had 77 touchdowns. You think about that. That's almost 20 a year.
Man. Melvin Gordon?
That's a great guess. Same school.
Okay. Ron Dane?
He's second.
Monty Ball?
Monty Ball.
Of course.
He had 500 points.
That's ridiculous. 77 touchdowns.
He's 74 ahead of Ron Dane. I mean, I don't see that being broke. Well, nowadays, guys are playing 6, 7, 8 years.
That's a good point. That's a good point. In fact, just before the show, I saw Illinois football picked up an offensive line commit that it will be his 7th year. He's getting a 7-year injury hardship waiver.
Yeah.
Like, that guy graduated high school back in 2018. That's crazy. Yeah.
But who is it? The kid that plays for USC now, basketball, that was on Auburn.
Baker Mazzara.
Yeah, he was in the same high school graduating class that, like, Jaden Ivey was in.
That's crazy. Ivey's been in the NBA for how long now? Four or five?
This is third or fourth year. So
yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But the COVID year stuff's over.
So
is it mainly just like injury stuff? They're just giving waivers left and right?
In JUCO's years, they're not even counting anymore.
That's so good. The Pavia rule.
Yeah. So we're going to see more and more. I wish they would go back to, you have 5 years to complete 4 years of athletic. That was too easy, right?
Yeah. I used to like, you know, oh, Illinois got a grad transfer this year, you know, sort of thing. Guys that wanted to maybe bump up a level. Now we're just going to see new players every single year. I'm kind of – besides Purdue, they're about the only team. I know they've kind of supplemented this year with who's their big guy, Clough.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, he's kept all of those guys. And I know a guy like Shaka Smart is trying to do that, and it has backfired horrendously on him. I think they're 5-12 or something like that. They've been terrible.
It's tough as Big Ten games are starting. You used to know 3, 4, 5 guys from each team.
Yeah.
Like Martinelli for Northwestern, for instance, or something. But almost every team, you know, you don't know who they are now. So.
I know. I don't like it. I was literally thinking about it today. I'm like, besides Illinois, I haven't really watched a ton of Big Ten basketball, and I just don't know these guys anymore. And Tanner and I have talked about this. Like, we won't have, like, a guy that we just absolutely hate anymore, like a Will Sheehy or Brad Davison, stuff like that, because they just don't last very long. And hopefully it just has to get so bad before stuff – changes, and it feels like it's getting pretty close to a tipping point, hopefully, because it's just it isn't as fun to watch as it used to be.
Right. There are a few guys that are in their fourth year, like the stud for Ohio State,
and then Thornton
Martinelli, but a few guys from Michigan State are still around, you know, some but other than that, you're right. It's just, you know, Indiana's team's completely different.
Yeah, top to bottom. Do they have any returners from last year that played any minutes at all?
Not that I know of.
No, I haven't watched them much.
I haven't seen a minute of them yet. They seem to score quite a few points, but I haven't seen them.
Yeah, they they play a much different style this year, and they're shooting a ton of threes.
Yeah.
And of course, the best shots in basketball these days are layups, dunks, threes, and that's pretty much it. That's kind of how the good coaches anyway, they just don't like those mid-range jumpers, where Woody was real old school.
Yeah.
Devries obviously has them scoring a ton of points. I don't know how they'll be come, you know, the thick of Big Ten play. Because they weren't really all that challenged in the non-con. I think their probably best win in the non-con was it at Marquette, or was that a neutral site?
That was neutral. They had beat Kansas State at home.
They're so
it's so. Probably, I think Washington last night was probably their best win so far.
And that was at home as well. They have a loss at Minnesota, which Minnesota's looking halfway decent. They're 2-1. They have win against Indiana, then at Northwestern over the weekend. But I don't think they'll end up being better than maybe 5-15 or 6-14 in conference. And that's probably why a lot of bracketologists don't have Indiana in the field right now.
They're the type of team that will jump up and grab a couple big home wins because they're hitting from three. Mm-hmm. But just the size of, like I was reading about, I don't know why, but Illinois came across. They're the tallest team in America. They average 6'7¼". And, you know, Indiana basically plays four guards. So if they're bombing away and hitting threes on big guys, and Purdue will have the same problem, then But if it's an inside game, you know, you got to think you're getting by 15 or 20. So,
yeah, I don't know how well they rebound either.
Not too good.
Because that's one thing that Illinois does very well, and Purdue's done much, much better this year.
Right.
Because last year, it was an issue. All year, it felt like that.
Huge issue.
Getting out-rebounded. Now, getting a guy like Clough, who's averaging, I think, is he averaging a double-double? He's pretty close to it.
Yeah, really close. And I did see the leading 10 offensive rebounders in the country, and Purdue has number 2 and 6.
Oh.
So, last year, they hardly ever got offensive rebounds. And – you know, now if you can get them, that's a good way. You can bomb away from three, go get it, and then try to get points. So
even like last year, like TKR only averaged what, around 6 rebounds a game?
Yeah,
6'9", 6'10".
And he blocked 4 shots last year.
That's crazy. He's definitely a below the rim kind of player, but it works. For him, but
he's got a whole different role. He's not getting to the foul line this year, which is actually a good thing.
That's a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah, he's only got 21 free throws in 12 games.
Wow.
Last year he was averaging around 7 free throws a game. So
say he was getting there a bunch last year. Why is that? Is it just
he plays more about 10 feet from the hoop, he actually, you know, they let Clough take it down deep, or Jacobson. He's become a much better passer, and he gets a lot of assists. I was reading Purdue had 6 guys this year that scored over 20 in a game, and TKR is not one of them.
Wow.
And last year he averaged 20.
Yeah, he missed first couple games, didn't he?
Right. Yeah.
And
much like Illinois too, they haven't had a lot of close games where he's had to play 34, 35 minutes.
Right.
So, you know, I expect his, you know, get up to 16, 17 a game anyway, but right now he's at 14.
Yeah, and Purdue's schedule this week is fairly easy still, right? They have
2 home games.
Penn State, right?
They got Washington this week, tomorrow or Wednesday night, and then they have Penn State this weekend. They got a strange schedule. They have 3 straight home games twice this year, which they've never had under Painter. But after these 3, then they play 6 of 8 on the road.
Wow.
And one of their home games is Illinois, right after going out to L.A. to play UCLA and USC. So that's kind of the dangerous part. A lot of teams last year, once they go out west, they come back and lose.
Yeah.
So, and then go to IU. So that, you know, that'd be a tough 4 game stretch for them. And then I think they have Michigan State, and Indiana at home in a 3 game stretch, which will be important too. So,
yeah. And they're 3-0 in conference right now. Big win at Wisconsin, which Wisconsin's been kind of disappointing. They came into the year, I think, ranked 20. I think they're right around 24th or 25th, and they just haven't looked very good.
No,
so
they were scoring at will on Purdue the first 10 minutes, And that's been the weakness I've seen in this Purdue team. They don't get off to very good starts first 10 minutes. Even with teams like Oakland and Akron, and you know, it's like 22 to 21 with 9 minutes to go in the half, and you think, what's going on? And I think depth and stuff helps there, you know.
Definitely.
You said about Purdue being 3-0. I thought it's interesting, and this is Painter's 20 or 21st year. It's only the third time he's ever been 3-0 in the Big Ten.
Wow.
He always loses one early, you know, to Rutgers or Northwestern, Nebraska.
Yeah, that's what Tanner always said. He's like, death taxes, you know, they usually lose one in December when they play one of those two.
A lot of times it's a home game without the students, and you guys were talking about that last week. It's just not the same without the students there. Either.
Yeah, I've said that about the State Farm Center in Champaign, how it's just dead with no students, and I hate it. And you look under in the Underwood era, I mean, they always lose a home game they shouldn't lose.
Yeah.
In that stretch, I mean, last year was USC at home.
Yeah. The
year before, it was a bad Maryland team. It's honestly usually Maryland that gets them in that.
It's funny how every college has that one team that gives them fits for some reason.
Yeah.
Purdue hasn't beat Ohio State in the last 2 years, and Ohio State hasn't even been very good.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and luckily the schedule sets up pretty good for Illinois. They do have a home game Thursday, but it's against Rutgers. The students shouldn't matter in that one.
That's one you gotta have.
Gotta have that one. But yeah, three of their next four are on the road, so I almost prefer that when you know students are on a Christmas break.
Right.
And those road games at Iowa is gonna be really tough because they look awfully good.
Yep.
In fact, over the past month, according to a lot of metrics, they've been the number two team in the country. Only Michigan's been a little better. So they've looked awfully good, and they were just dominating UCLA early, and then UCLA was able to fight back and make it close. Then they have, I think, at Northwestern's their next one.
Which is always a tough one for Illinois up there.
Yeah.
Or lately. I know 1 year, wasn't it? You were real good, and they lost by two in overtime or something.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago. Shannon had just gotten back from the suspension, and it went to overtime, and Illinois blew a 5-point lead, I think, with like 2 minutes left and lost.
Yeah.
But then last year, it was their first Big Ten game in December. Of course, they had all those young guys, and they were up 10 with 7 minutes left, and Humrickhouse had a wide-open three to put them up 13, probably would have ended up, he bricked it. And then they had a 5-point lead with a minute left and the ball, and they still blew it, and Northwestern tied it and then won in overtime. So I think they've lost three in a row there.
Yeah.
Which is not fun. But this Northwestern team's not very good, so I'm hoping it doesn't matter.
And didn't Iowa – their one loss, though, was a bad – wasn't it? Didn't they get pounded at Wisconsin earlier in the year?
They – Michigan State.
Okay.
At Michigan State. Their two losses are at Michigan State and at Iowa State. So those are pretty good.
Yeah.
They got
Iowa State good.
Yeah, I think they're up 10 at half and ended up losing by three or four.
Yeah.
But they're tough. Yeah, they had Bennett Sturts. He's a stud. I think most NBA mock drafts have him going in the lottery.
Wow.
Which is surprising. He's awfully good, and that'll be a fascinating matchup with Kylan Boswell, who's known as one of the better on-ball defenders in the league. I don't think he's been playing very well, though. But Illinois won a close one. It wasn't all that close, I guess, but it was more of a grind at Penn State, at the Palestra, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
The game was never in doubt, but you felt like they could have won by 30, and they didn't.
Yeah,
sort of thing. It kind of hovered between 10 and 15 point lead. Now a lot of it had to do with Keaton Wagler picked up two early fouls, and Underwood sat him for majority of the first half, brought him back in. He picked up his third with about a minute left in the half, and then he picked up his fourth 30 seconds into the second half. So Underwood didn't play him from the 19:30 mark to, I think there was 4.5 minutes left. He finally put him back in, and he's very clearly their MVP because their offense was not very good without him. They made enough shots, but I'm not going to apologize for any road win, regardless.
No,
especially in the Big Ten, especially against a team that Penn State had won. I think it was 10 of the last 15 against Illinois, which is just crazy because Illinois has been in a very good stretch of basketball here the past 6 years or so. And for whatever reason, they just can't knock off Penn State.
Yeah, it might upset your fans, you know, when you're only win by 6, 7, 8 points against somebody in the bottom. It doesn't matter. Just get it and go.
Yeah, definitely.
Just stack them this time of year.
Yep. So, yeah, especially in January when the schedule is fairly light for Illinois in January, then February, it's just a buzzsaw. It's brutal.
Same.
All right, you want to go around and pick games for this week because it is officially Big Ten play this week. Starting with tonight, a game that's actually underway right now, 10 minutes in, Nebraska at Ohio State.
I'm going to go with Ohio State at home.
Nebraska's 14-0.
I know.
I don't know if I overly believe in them, though.
I'm saying.
Yeah. They had an unbelievable shooting performance at Illinois, which I thought Illinois played like garbage. And then they were able to find a way to gut one out against Michigan State. They are up 8 early at Ohio State. But again,
oh, they are. Okay.
Yeah, there's 10 minutes left in the first half.
I'll keep waiting for that shoe to drop a little bit.
Me too. I think it will. The thing that they have going for them, they're so old, and they've played together a bunch that helps. I'm with you, though. I think Ohio State wins at home. It's a game that Ohio State needs, really.
They need some marquee wins.
Yeah, for people to start taking them seriously. They had a chance against North Carolina, and they blew it.
Right.
But other than that, Ohio State doesn't really have any wins at all. And then elsewhere tonight, we have Oregon at Rutgers.
I'm going to go with Oregon.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Oregon. And then USC at Michigan State.
Michigan State.
Michigan State. Michigan at Penn State.
Yeah, I think Michigan's got another 25-point win in them.
They're favored by 24.5 on the road in a Big Ten game. That's crazy.
Yeah.
They are very good.
Yeah.
I can't stand them. But
especially since your guy had 29 the other night. And
yeah, that's he could have gone anywhere else. I wish there was still a rule they can't transfer in conference because
there's a ton of that too.
I know
two USC kids went to Washington, and
that's right.
Washington has an old IU player, that Tucker.
Oh yeah, Bryson Tucker. Iowa at Minnesota.
I'm gonna go with Iowa.
Give me Iowa as well. UCLA at Wisconsin. Big one for both teams, really.
Yeah. I'm going to say UCLA.
I'm going to take the home team. Yeah. I would say those two are probably the most disappointing teams in the conference so far. Maybe Oregon, you can throw them in there, because I think people thought Oregon would be pretty good this year.
I actually thought Washington would be a sleeper.
Me too.
One of the four byes into the – I thought they'd be in the hunt for that.
Me too. They are. Who are they missing? They're missing
Yates.
Yates, that's right.
He's a good player.
He is. Give me Wisconsin. Wednesday night we have IU at Maryland.
IU has not been good on the road, but I'm going to go with IU. I think this is Maryland's worst team since they joined the conference.
I agree. They're bad. They're 7-7. There will be nobody there too.
Yeah.
Which is an issue with Maryland being bad, is people just don't show up. Right. So give me IU. Washington at Purdue.
I'm going to go with Purdue, but I think it'll be closer than people think.
Give me Purdue. I think they win comfortably. Washington does have a very good freshman who's, I think he's 6'9". His name is Hans Steinbach. He is 6'11". He's averaging 18 points a game, 12 rebounds a game, while shooting 40% from three.
He's high on some NBA draft lotteries, too. And they've got that Claude.
From USC as well.
And they still have that Ballo kid who was pretty good last year. So
yeah.
I think they'll be a tourney team.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think even in my Big Ten basketball preview, I had them as, like, right on the cusp, but – they could be a top 5 to top 6 team based on talent alone.
I agree. And I like their coach too. He's
I do too.
Pretty solid.
Yeah. Thursday night, we have Northwestern at Michigan State.
State.
Yep. Ohio State at Oregon.
I'm going to go with Oregon in that one.
I am too. I think the road team, especially a 10:30 Eastern time tip for Ohio State, could be rough.
And here they're playing on Monday, and they got to play each other on Thursday.
That's tough.
Little NBA stuff there.
Yeah. Rutgers at Illinois.
Illinois.
Yeah, give me Illinois. USC at Minnesota.
I'm going to go USC.
I'm going to take Minnesota. Mini upset. Just because
that coach is travel. He's going to be a pain in a couple of years.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Nico Medved. He's good.
Yeah.
Good. Nebraska at Indiana.
I think Nebraska gets in there.
I think it's a good week for Indiana, unfortunately. Yeah. They'd be ranked again if they win the two this week.
They need a marquee win somewhere.
Definitely. And this would definitely be it. Might be their first quad one win of the year.
I don't even know if they have a quad two. They might. Marquette is quad two.
Well, Washington last night was probably a quad two. Okay. I would imagine they were in the top 75 anyway. Maybe they're not.
But not at home.
Well, quad two would be top 75. What's quad one? I think it's top 30. Yeah, Washington's not top 30. Wisconsin at Michigan.
Michigan,
Penn State at Purdue.
Purdue,
Maryland at UCLA.
UCLA.
Sunday, we have Illinois at Iowa, 11 a.m. tip.
That's going to be a good one.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it.
I have not seen Iowa play. I've only seen Illinois a couple minutes. I'll be nice to the host. I'll go with Illinois in a tight one.
All right. I think it'll be very tight. I'm going to take Illinois as well. Iowa's lost, I think, 8 of the last 9 to Illinois. Of course, different coach now. It's an interesting style, though, because Iowa plays such slow basketball and Illinois likes to shoot within, 10 seconds of the shot clock.
Yeah.
So, if Illinois starts playing Iowa style, I think Iowa beats them. But I think it'll be decided by 3 points or less, so I'm not looking forward to that. Yeah. Northwestern at Rutgers. I'm going to take Northwestern in that one.
If I watch that game, just hit me.
5 o'clock Eastern time on Peacock during the NFL playoffs.
I might be on the playoff game.
Not too many people are going to be watching that one. Ohio State at Washington.
Washington. It might be a tough week.
I agree. They could lose 3 this week.
Yeah.
That's rough. Any more college basketball talk?
Well, just who does Illinois play twice this year? Northwestern, who else?
I'll be honest with you, I couldn't tell you.
Now, Purdue has Wisconsin twice, Indiana twice, obviously, and then Iowa twice.
Let's see. I'm going to go look it up real quick.
So, where Michigan and Michigan State have to play each other twice. And
yeah.
Obviously, the West Coast schools play each other twice all the time.
Illinois has, Northwestern twice. They have Nebraska twice. They have – Indiana, Wisconsin, Northwestern, Nebraska. Northwestern, Nebraska. Why am I not seeing another team they play twice? There's got to be another one.
Yeah, there's 3 teams you played twice.
3 teams play twice. Nebraska, Northwestern. They play Rutgers twice? Nope. Michigan State twice? No. Michigan twice? No. Purdue twice? No. Indiana twice? No. Be great if it was Penn State.
Penn State or Rutgers.
Yeah. Minnesota. I'm not seeing it. I know there is another team, but they don't play Ohio State twice.
Must be a team you played maybe the first game or two.
It was Ohio State and Nebraska were the first two. They don't play Ohio State again. They do play Nebraska again. Rutgers not on there. Iowa. They should play Iowa twice. That should be their Minnesota, Maryland, Purdue, Wisconsin. Michigan State. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
That's weird.
You'll find out sometime.
I'll figure it out. Yeah. Moving on here to college football playoff. Our matchups are set. We have what is the first game? It's Miami and Ole Miss, right? Is the first game.
Yep.
Thursday. And then Big Ten matchup. We have Oregon against Indiana. Where's that game at? Do you know?
Peach Bowl. So Peach the Atlanta. Bowl,
okay.
The other one's Fiesta Bowl, so Phoenix or whatever.
Yeah, oh, that's right. I still can't believe Indiana's where they're at.
I know.
They
dominate the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball.
Against Alabama.
Oh, it made them quit.
They did.
It reminded me a lot of the Purdue game in that they made Alabama look like Purdue. And Alabama, they panicked early. You know, they had fourth and about a foot and a half in their own 37-yard line. And I don't know what made them think they could push the line for – a half a yard, because Alabama can't run the ball at all.
No.
And Indiana stuffs it. And I tell you, Indiana runs the ball on first down, and their backs run hard, and their line's huge and effective. They get 6-7 yards every time on first down.
I know. It's.
I think they could have an average quarterback and be a good team.
Yeah, I mean, they did last year.
Yeah. And they're call me impressed. I kept thinking, it's their schedule. Even this year, I thought their Big Ten schedule was, you know, especially – lucked out really against Iowa, and Penn State. Very similar to what Oregon did. Both those games,
one at
the buzzers, and they're the real deal.
They are.
And the only team I could see where could be competing with them is Ohio State, and they're out.
They're out. Yeah, I was thinking Georgia too, and then they got put out. So
yeah, I don't even think Georgia's line could match up with
no.
If you're following all the portal, Indiana's grabbing guys left and right that are studs again. And it's going to be a machine.
It's unbelievable. Like it's unbelievable. It's literally like Northwestern basketball turning into the best program in college basketball overnight, essentially.
It's a little bit of Nebraska in top 10 in basketball. And you think, now, wait a second, Indiana's first in football and Nebraska's top 10 in basketball. This is like the 1970s in reverse.
Yeah, it's like the it's like the Seinfeld Bizarro world.
Oh my gosh,
it's crazy. I started to believe in Indiana once they won at Oregon, but even then I'm like, but then they beat Ohio State, and I'm like, okay, kind of have to at this point, because last year I think was a product of their schedule. I think they were a good team last year, but I think if they played this schedule they played this year last year, they go 9-3 or 8-4.
Yeah.
A good team, but this year it's just, I mean, they have a Heisman winning quarterback. And then they go and pick up Josh Hoover from TCU, who threw, 30 touchdowns this year, and they picked up a stud wide receiver from Michigan State. And, it's what hiring the right coach does. It's a special case that they got it correct. To be like this. I think a lot of people, when they hired Cignetti, they're like, all right, just consistently 6-6 or 7-5. I don't think the expectation at all that they'd even sniff the college football playoff. Here they are, the best team in the country, to the point where I would say it'd be a surprise if they didn't win the national title, which
I
is
do
crazy.
Too. As I was watching, I thought the only kind of combination that I think could beat them is maybe Miami's defense with Mississippi's quarterback. When he can run around and throw the ball down the field. But Mississippi has no defense either. I mean, it's going to be tough to beat Oregon twice.
Definitely.
But Oregon's going to need a break. I mean, they're going to have to get a turnover. You know, last time they played them, they had a pick six, and Indiana still beat them by 10 in their play.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that was the only reason why it was that close, because they really dominated from start to finish.
And I think you almost have to score a long-distance touchdown against them. Indiana doesn't once you get inside the 20, they say no. They did it to Ohio State. They did it to Oregon the first time. They've done it to every team they played. You know, I remember the first game of the year, Old Dominion scored 2 touchdowns on them. I thought, well, Indiana's not that good. They were both 75-yarders.
Yeah.
So maybe if you have speed, and I know Oregon has it, but you know, that's the only game I've really seen that Dante Moore play, and Indiana shut him down.
Yeah. Yeah, Indiana hasn't, obviously no team has played a team twice. But it will be interesting to see what Dan Lanning has cooked up.
Yeah.
Hopefully for our sake, Oregon's able to knock them off. Oh, hopefully more so for your sake. You have to live in the thick of it. Where I was able to escape a little bit, but
the only funny part around here is the Notre Dame fans now are really confused. And they really like Indiana right now because Notre Dame has run this state for 50. Ever since college football started.
Yeah.
This is their, you know, the one thing they could always say is, well, we're by far the best team in the state of Indiana. Not now.
not anymore.
not now.
Yeah. That's crazy. So who do you have in the Ole Miss-Miami game?
I'm going to take Miami. Ole Miss is a great story, you know, with the whole Kiffin's crap and his coaches. But I'm going to take Miami. And interesting enough, the championship game is played on Miami's home field.
Yeah. That does add a wrinkle, which is – kind of funny because Miami had a hard enough time selling half that stadium throughout the season. And then they would be playing.
And I still think if they played Indiana would have the majority of the crowd.
I completely agree. 100% agree.
Yeah.
Ole Miss has a ton of distractions just with obviously the Kiffin stuff. And they were able to get past that in the first round. But now they're talking like some coaches might have to leave and go to LSU before the game and that sort of stuff. Now, Charlie Weiss Jr. is getting mentioned as a potential candidate to be a coordinator or something with the New York Giants.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Because he knows Jackson Dart real well. That would be the only, And again, it would be funny if Miami wins because they go to the national title after everyone complained that they got in over Notre Dame.
You know, just before they went to this 12-team playoff, they used to pick four teams.
Yeah.
And this year it would have been Indiana, and then three teams are out. They would have Ohio State, Georgia, and Texas Tech. Because the seeding, I think it's what, 1, 5, 6, and 10?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it clearly means the 12 team playoffs working. And Tanner and I have talked about this. You know, they complained when it was computers picking them. They complained when it was four. They're complaining when it was 12. They could have a 100 team playoff and teams would still complain. Fans would still complain. I think 12's fine. I don't know if 16 is going to do a whole lot to change anything.
Yeah, they probably need. I get the beauty of wanting a small school, you know, mid major in, but. This isn't basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the Boise State beat Oklahoma, 15 years ago in the Fiesta Bowl or whatever. Yeah. But
that was almost 20 years ago now.
Yeah. It just doesn't happen very often.
No, it's way different. Football and basketball, the size and the speed alone, where you can knock in some shots and knock a team off, but you're not going to be able to. I mean, it's very, very rare for a low major or a group of five team to knock off, you know, a top 10 team in the country.
Yeah.
So it is, but Tulane and, you know, James Madison, they didn't have a shot and everyone knew it too, but.
And I thought that was a real, look, Oregon and Mississippi are still both involved and they started out with those two schools. So they kind of had a practice game.
Yeah.
And then we're ready. You know, Indiana is the only school now in the 2 years that has been ranked 1 through 4 that has made the second or the third round.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to be off a month when the other team just had a practice game for the most part.
Right. Yeah. Being off. Yeah. It was ended up being what, like 28 days or something like that.
Yeah.
Pretty close to it. I do think having that bye hurts teams. I also think that second round should be played on campus and maybe the final two rounds. Be a neutral site.
Me too.
Because that does create a not a disadvantage, but it doesn't help as much for the teams that do get those buys.
And of all the teams, I thought Ohio State was the most affected.
Yeah.
They looked like crap in the first half. They played pretty good in the second half, but too big a hole to dig, you know, against a team of Miami's quality.
Yep. So, and then who do you have in the Oregon Indiana game?
I got to go with Indiana.
I do too. I hate that, but I definitely do. Me too. Yeah, and that's yeah. I don't love that I picked that, but I don't see anyone beating them the rest of the way, and I especially think if they get past Oregon, they'll win the national title easily.
Me too.
I
actually think the winner of that game will win the national title.
I completely agree with you.
But you know, all four of these quarterbacks were not quarterbacks for that team last year. Moore was the backup.
Yeah.
Beck comes from Georgia. I can't even think where the Mississippi – he came from a small school in Michigan.
Yeah, he's in like his sixth year, I think, and he's applying for another waiver.
Yeah.
Chambliss, I think is his name.
Yeah, it is. People missed on that kid.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But all right, since we're talking college football, I will give you my blind ranking this week. And it is BCS National Championship Games. You got to rank them 1 through 5 without knowing which one comes next. Starting with Texas against USC.
Number one.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought you might put them number one.
Bush, Leinart, and Vince Young. That was quite a game.
Yeah, that was – I think people would still say that's the greatest college football game ever played.
Yeah.
That was awfully good. Ohio State against Miami.
The one that went in overtime and about 2001 or two.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 3 with that.
Okay.
It was a great finish. But Miami dominated the game, and Greg Kinsel, wasn't it, threw a pass in there, and they called it interference.
Yeah.
2 seconds later.
Yeah, yeah. I think this one was in 2010, Auburn against Oregon.
Well, that was a good game, too.
It was.
I'm going to go 4 with it, though.
Okay.
Was that Cam?
That was Cam. Trying to think who Oregon's quarterback was that year.
Yeah.
That wasn't Mariota.
Yeah.
I don't remember. And then my fourth one here, Florida State against Auburn. That was a good one, too.
Yeah, it was. Let's put that at 2.
Okay. I think Jameis threw a late touchdown to win it.
I can remember that running Auburn quarterback. I can't remember his name now, but. It was a good game.
I think that was the last BCS championship game was that one before they went to the playoff.
Okay.
And then this one was Nick Saban's. I think it was it wasn't his last game at LSU, but it was his national title against Oklahoma.
I got number 5 left. So.
Yeah, re-rank. I think you nailed it. I wouldn't have put it any other different ranking here. A blind segment ranking, let me pull up the read real quick. Tanner sent me the reads this week, is brought to you by Proforma Print2 Promo Group. Has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. We strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs. You need to look no further. Let them be your one source print and promotional company. Call Barbara Van Weinsberg today at 574-210-3815 or email barbara.vanweinsberg@proforma.com. We got about 27 minutes left, and I need to do Tanner and I's bold predictions for 2026. You can make fun of us as we go. Tanner did send me his predictions today, and I will start off with his. This was a no-brainer that he was going to put. The NBA will announce the return of the Seattle Supersonics.
He said every year, doesn't he?
Yep. Eventually, it's going to happen, and maybe this will be the year. Second one here, Bryson DeChambeau will re-sign with Liv.
Yeah, money speaks.
This will be an interesting one. Tom Izzo will retire after this season.
He thinks he's getting all irritated at everything that's going on.
Yeah.
Like Jay Wright did. And,
yeah. Tony Bennett, Bruce Pearl.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me. He's got to be getting close to 70 if he's not
in the 70s
already.
I don't know what else he needs to accomplish.
Yeah. He did win one. That was a long time ago, but
right.
He did win one. An MLB team will go worst to first in its division.
Worst to first.
Yeah, which I was thinking about that today, and I don't remember. I think Baltimore finished last in the East. They did by two games. The other teams were the White Sox, LA Angels, Washington Nationals, Pittsburgh Pirates, or Colorado Rockies. I would say Baltimore's your best bet to go worst to first. Maybe Pittsburgh, because all the other Central Division teams are sitting on their hands during free agency, and they definitely have the pitching there.
That's true. I agree. I don't see the Rockies winning 100 games.
No, they went 43-119. They're not beating the Dodgers in that one. And then last one here for Tanner, Braden Smith will pass Dan Hurley for most assists in NCAA history.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite players ever at Purdue, but he definitely looking to pass now. I think for them to win big games, he needs to look for a shot a little bit.
Yeah, he's such a good passer, though. It's hard not to
rack up
those assists. I think if he averaged 8 assists a game until, I think they said, like, the Elite Eight, he would get there, which I think is very doable for him to do that.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right, to my bold predictions, my first one here, neither number one seed in the NFL will win a game in the playoffs.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah. Sorry, Tanner, but I think this Denver team's the worst one seed we've ever seen in the NFL. Sorry, Tanner.
They do play good defense.
They do, and in the playoffs, that stuff matters.
Yeah.
For sure. The Big Ten wins a national title in both football and basketball this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's been a while in basketball.
Yeah, it's been a long while in basketball. Bryson DeChambeau wins the Masters. Can he even play in the Masters? I don't even know. Yeah. I forgot he was in the – okay.
Yeah, he had a chance last year. He was tied after two holes in the last round, and then Rory took over.
He's the new guy that I'm trying to curse here.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers finally retires.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
He did look good last night.
He did. Next season is Andy Reid's last as an NFL head coach.
I can see that too.
So maybe I'll get lucky. I didn't talk to Tanner. I don't know if we're going to do 26 bold predictions for 26 or if we're going to cut it off at 25. So we'll get back to you next week on that one. I'm hoping we cut it off at 25 because it gets harder and harder each year to do this.
I would imagine all of Tan and J-Man Nation is waiting for that answer.
All three people watching us tonight.
Yeah.
On there. All right. I got to do on this day real quick. Knock that out. I got to pull it up here on my phone because I'm a slacker. Let's see. On this day, I'm sure we got a lot of playoffs on this day. That is not the right website. OnThisDay.com. We still got to talk NFL as well. So I'll rifle through these real quick. Let's see here. Sports. That's history. There we go. On this day in 1859, the first steamboat, the North Star, sails up the Northern Red River in America.
Okay.
On this day in 1927, MLB Commissioner Kennesaw Mountain Landis begins a three-day public hearing on charges that four games played between the Chicago and Detroit in 1917 had been thrown by the White Sox in that World Series.
Make a movie out of that.
Yeah. On this day in 1957, Jackie Robinson announced his retirement rather than be traded to the New York Giants. I didn't even know he was almost traded.
Giants. I didn't either.
On this day in 1964, can you name me who won the AFL championship?
64? There weren't a whole lot of teams, so I'm going to go with Oilers, Chargers, wasn't the Boston Patriots.
Boston Patriots played in it.
Did they? How about Houston?
San Diego Chargers beat the Boston Patriots 51.
I just said it. It wasn't the Chargers.
On this day in, let's see here, 1989, baseball signed a $400 million TV contract with ESPN to show 175 games in 1990.
That's about half of Ohtani's pay now.
Yeah. I don't think baseball on ESPN are a thing anymore. In fact, NBC is starting to take over Sunday Night Baseball.
Are they? I did not know that.
Yeah, the contract ran out with ESPN, and I think Peacock as well is going to have some baseball games on it. So it's
Rico going to call the games?
I don't know. I think Al Michaels wants to get back calling baseball because that was kind of his yeah. thing back in the 80s. But he's kind of washed when it comes to the NFL. Maybe baseball.
He's slowing down.
Yeah. On this day in 1996, Miami Dolphins head coach Don Shula announced his retirement.
Yeah.
2007, Bill Cowher resigned as head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And on this day in, let's see, who won the Heisman Trophy on this day in 2021?
You guys are so much better at these years. I could tell you, you know, 1984, so 2021, so it'd be about 5 years ago. Got to be a quarterback.
Nope.
Wasn't a quarterback.
No.
Go ahead and tell me.
Devontae Smith. He was the first non-quarterback running back in a long time to win it.
Yeah.
On This Day is brought to you by Blue River Digital. It's a full-service smart marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with intention. Their focus is on systems, strategy, and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They offer digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing, and direct mail. Signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional items, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium, and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in northern Indiana. Contact them today at 260-248-2749 to see how they can help you with your digital marketing. All right, we have 8 minutes left. We got to talk some NFL playoffs. Do you have winners and losers from yesterday?
Yeah. You want to start with the losers?
Let's start with the winners here.
Winners.
Who's your first winner?
The Steelers.
Yeah.
That was there's no way I thought they would score a touchdown with 2 minutes and 20 seconds and no timeouts. Yeah. They can't throw the ball down the field, really. So, and have no one to throw to down the field. So I was amazed.
Yeah, me too. Baltimore had a shot, and I think Harbaugh really screwed up taking a knee instead of trying to get 5 or 6 more yards with Derrick Henry with a timeout with 14 seconds left. And man, that kicker missed that field goal so bad.
Yeah. I feel bad for him.
I do too.
He missed under 50 yards all year.
Wow. That's bad time to do
29.
It.
Of course, yeah. Boswell missed an extra point. He missed one in 4 years.
Yeah. My first winner, Seattle Seahawks, number one seed. That defense is nasty. It's not a fluke either because they led NFL by a wide margin and point differential, which is a pretty good indicator. They're pretty dang good. Hard to believe Sam Darnold back-to-back years winning 13 or more games. Crazy.
I know that doesn't happen very often. My second winner, I'm going to go with the Jacksonville Jaguars, even though they just beat the Titans, but I wasn't a believer, but they won 8 or 9 in a row.
Yeah, they're hot. Them and Houston Texans both on fire right now. Really, since they played each other. Kind of,
you know,
yeah.
Sometimes they look like trash. They got a great defense.
Yeah.
If Houston and Denver end up playing in the tight AFC Championship or whatever, it could be a 3-0 game.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I mean, there's some defense out there.
My second winner is the Vegas Raiders. They got the one number one overall pick and fired Pete Carroll today. That was a disaster. Just a disastrous year for him.
Yeah, and they even won a game.
Yeah.
My third winner, I'm going to put New England just because they won the division for the first time forever. But I thought it's interesting. Their record this year against teams over 500 is 1-2.
Yeah, yeah.
The Buffalo Bills in a Pittsburgh game is the only teams they played that finished over 500.
Yeah, and of course that's not their fault, but they haven't been tested at all. And I think they'll struggle. I think they're a legitimately good team. I think Drake May is a legitimate NFL MVP candidate. I think it's probably between him and Stafford at this point. And that defense is great. I think Vrabel's great, but I haven't really been tested all that much.
We're going to find out a lot about him here in the next week or two.
My last winner is just because they made the playoffs for the first time in forever, Carolina Panthers. They got lucky, I mean, with Atlanta winning both of those games, especially the Monday nighter last week against the Rams. That one. That's the only way they get in. Congrats to them, I guess. Three losers.
I'm going to start out with Tampa Bay, even though they won the game, but they got what in the world? You know, I know Baker played like trash the last half of the year. He was an MVP candidate after week five or six.
He was.
Some of the receivers and stuff went out, but that they should have won that division by two games. So
easily. They lost home games to New Orleans and Atlanta. They lost on the road to Quinn Ewers in Miami. They just went one of those. And you can even throw Atlanta in there. If they just wouldn't have lost the New York Jets, they would have won that division too.
Atlanta probably has the most talent.
I agree. I agree. And they cleaned house yesterday. Yeah. So, my first loser is the Miami Dolphins, and not just because they lost, but as I said, McDaniels is back, which is not a surprise, but he's going to be involved in the general manager interviewing process, which is what bad organizations do. I knew he was probably safe when I saw the list of guys they're interviewing for that GM job, and three of them were San Francisco 49ers, which is where McDaniel came from and worked closely with those guys. So we'll see. It'll be nice to have a new face in there at least, or a new voice. I'm sick of them. I'm so done with them at this point. I'm very glad that season's over. That'll be one of the most forgettable seasons of my lifetime.
My second loser is the Bengals. They're poorly run. They kind of whined about Myles Garrett getting congratulated during the game.
Yeah.
They just sound like whiners. You know, they don't pay Trey Hendrickson. It's trash.
Yeah. And now they're bringing both GM and head coach back, which I know they've had the Burrow injuries, but they've only won 17 of their last 33 games with Joe Burrow healthy. So we're not even winning with him. So
They got this dynamic skill set, but they don't win games.
Philadelphia Eagles, why did they not play? I don't understand it. I'd much rather play the Green Bay Packers than the San Francisco 49ers in round one. So
plus if you win, you get a home game round two.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a mind-numbing decision. I don't know what they were thinking.
My last losers are just the Chiefs. They're unwatchable right now. I know Mahomes is out and some of the guys, but my goodness.
Yeah.
It was awful to watch. I was hoping Red Zone would not even show a play of the Raiders and the Chiefs, but it came down to a kick, you know.
My final loser, I'm going to throw the NFL in there only because I think they shouldn't care about division winners if you're under 500. Or at least reseed them. They don't deserve to host a game. I think the NBA switched that up, didn't they? Where even though you win your division, if you have a worse record, there's no reason why the LA Rams at 12-5 have to travel completely across the country to an 8-9 Carolina team. That's just me. But all right, let's go through and pick the wild card round, starting with the Rams at the Carolina Panthers.
Rams big.
Yeah, Rams are 10-point favorites. Give me the Rams. Packers at Chicago Bears.
I'm gonna go off the board. I think the Packers will somehow get them.
I completely agree with you. Bears are a 1-point favorite, but give me the Green Bay Packers. Buffalo Bills at the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I think that might be the funnest game of the whole weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with the Bills. We'll see.
I am too. Give me the Bills. San Francisco 49ers at the Philadelphia Eagles.
I would like to see San Francisco win, but I think Philadelphia will win that one.
Yeah, I can't stand Philadelphia Eagles. Give me San Francisco on the road, though. L.A. Chargers at the New England Patriots.
I'm going to go with the Chargers in a little bit of an upset.
I agree with you. Patriots are 3.5-point favorites, but give me the LA Chargers. Houston Texans at the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I got to go with Houston in that one.
Houston's 3.5-point favorite. Steelers have won 22 straight Monday Night Football home games.
I know.
It's time to buck that trend a little bit. In fact, this will be the J-Man's Book It prediction of the week. I think every single road team wins this weekend.
Wow.
So that's very bold. I probably should have had it in my bold predictions, but I picked every single.
That's a crazy one.
Every single road team. I feel good about that prediction too. J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers, comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561. Book it. All right, hit me with that birdie bogey.
Okay. Rookie Riley Leonard threw for over 250 yards, two touchdown passes, and ran one in. Name the last quarterback to accomplish that in his first ever start.
The first person that popped into my mind is the person I'm going to pick, because I remember his first game was awesome and he kind of had a viral moment where he was like on his back with his arms in the air, and that is Robert Griffin III.
That's a great pick, but that is not the correct answer.
Shoot.
Tanner made sure I got you a bogey here to start the year.
Of course he did.
I picked this question because he's one of the whipping boys of the Tan and J-Man show.
Oh, boy.
The legendary Danny Dimes.
I do remember his first game was great, too. Yeah, and he was showed off some wheels. I would have never guessed him at all. But
I can remember Cam Newton's first start. He threw for over 400 with like
four touchdowns. I remember RG3's first start. I think it was in New Orleans. He threw a 80-yard bomb, and he was like laying on his back, and he had his arms in the air.
That's he probably cool. did everything and didn't run one in.
Yeah. Yeah. But thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. Thanks for joining me tonight there, Eric. And hopefully Tanner will be feeling better and be back at it next Monday with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.